We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And welcome to Light Years. Andy Liu, as Bob Fitzgerald always tells us, first home game after a road trip, basically a road game.
Holy shit, that is the perfect way to start this pod. I did not see that coming. I mean, I totally forgot about that quote, and damn, I kind of wish the Warriors on the road, because that second half performance looked like they, oh God, I would not have wanted to be in the arena tonight for what happened in the second
half. We're recording this after an overtime loss to the Memphis Grizzlies at Chase Center, the first game of an 8-game homestand, and man, there's a lot to talk about, but that feels like a game they tricked away. There's no other way around it. Like, you know, Memphis, a good team. Ja is a superstar in the making. They definitely poked some holes into the Warriors, but like the Warriors still should have won that game.
Yep.
And so the Warriors are 4-1 instead of 5-0.
Yeah, I thought this is a game that they deserve to lose at the same time. It didn't feel like a game last season that I was like, man, the Warriors, like, yes, you could say they should have won this, they should have done that. But to me, anytime you turn the ball over 23 times, and they've been doing this the last few games, at some point, it's got to come back and bite you. And, you know, if you think of it from a Steve Kerr perspective, and we'll talk about Steve a little bit later, they deserve to lose because of that. They didn't, you know, they lost. If they put Steph in back earlier, yes, they could have won. But you just cannot turn the ball over that many times and walk out of there. You don't deserve to win when you do that. It was a pathetic performance, the way they were throwing the ball around. You can't do that. It's not like Memphis has this amazing defense either.
So the funny thing is, entering tonight's game, Memphis had the best offense in the NBA and the worst defense. And like, I know it's the first week of the season, but it's funny of all teams to see that ranking. I do agree with you. The first story of tonight's game was the turnovers. The Warriors were sloppy with the rock. There's no other way to put it other than that. But like, to me, I guess my question for you here is, how much did Memphis poke holes into the Warriors lineups? Because I was watching the Warriors in kind of the crunch time here. And yes, there were more than a handful of those. Like, who were you even trying to throw that to? Turnovers from the Warriors? Like, you know, the type, like, over the years where, like, I don't understand what they're trying to do here. But there was also a segment of, like, they opened the fourth with this Jordan Poole, Damian Lee, Juan Toscano, Andre Iguodala, Draymond lineup. So you have like three non-scorers with Jordan Poole and Damian Lee. And they played a lot of lineups, which again gets an overarching point, which is like, do the Warriors even have enough scoring on the floor unless Steph's going Nova?
Yeah, I a lot of stuff to unpack there. But the main part is they fell back to a little bit of what they've done for years that was successful is you can play a couple non-shooters on the floor because you have Steph and Clay, or you have one or the other on the floor. And Damian Lee is amazing. He was awesome tonight, and he made a lot of big shots, but he's not Klay Thompson. And when that happens, it makes life hard. And Jordan Poole right now is struggling to be an NBA playmaker because it's his first time doing it, and defenses actually know who Jordan Poole is now. It's a lot harder to do that, right, versus last season when they had no idea who he was. So Yeah, I mean, maybe you can get a little bit more Nemanja Bjelica out there. Otto Porter was awesome in the first half too, to get some shooting out there. But I mean, this is the roster that they have. I think it is difficult to do that. That's why they're throwing the ball around so much too, right? Like the reason why they do that is because they have to keep passing the ball because there's nobody that can get to the hole. But at the same time, some of these passes are just what the
right.
fuck?
It's like that's how it's like 50-50. 50%, I'm like, man, they're passing it in circles because they don't, none of them want to shoot the ball. And the other 50% of me is like, nah, that's like sixth graders know not to make that pass. Like, you know, so it's like, yep. It's always 50-50 with the Warriors. There's two comments in the chat I want to actually get your opinion on right now. So one, let's start with this. Did Otto or Bjelica play in the fourth quarter? And there's a few comments that are basically referring to, should they have gotten the game at the end of the game?
At the end of the game, I'm not sure. I was fine with the closing lineups. I mean,
in the fourth quarter in general. Like when the game was, let's put it this way, when the game was in the balance, it was kind of a tie game from maybe 8 minutes to go to the end, so 9 minutes, of, like basically around then.
Yeah, I'm with earlier than that. Like you could argue that Otto and Belly, I think so. Get those guys. I mean, they played a very good first half. I think what Steve was scared of is that defensively they couldn't hold up. And here's the flaw I think that Memphis push. And one quick point, because I know you want to get to some other stuff too, is that the Memphis guys got to the hole pretty much at will. And Draymond was incredible defensively. One of his best, actually his best defensive game all season, which is why the game was at 100 in OT. But just the Desmond Bane, D'Anthony Melton, obviously John Morant, just getting to the mid-paint area at will. There's only so much Draymond can do when that happens because there was nobody that was stopping anyone out there. And so that was something that I thought was a weakness. That's
a good point. Like Jordan Poole had another subpar game. Damian Lee actually, I thought, played a really good game, but stopping dribble penetration was not part of that. Steph, good. He had a good first half of the game and a poor second half of the game, particularly for Steph's standards. What do you think of Wiggins in general? Was he really denying perimeter penetration? Like, I didn't think so. Two-way was just kind of out there. But
he was out. I mean, you know, he was being him, right? He's out there as Fitz says, he's steady, as in he's steadily fine. Like, I don't know, like, well, what do you have? Like 15 points on like 16 shots? I mean, that's Andrew Wiggins. I mean, what do you.
Ironically, 16 points on 15 shots.
Like, I didn't even have to. You could say that every single game. Like, yeah, he's good. He's out there, but he's not producing anything that is incredible.
Four rebounds, one assist. I don't think he was particularly impactful on defense in this game. Maybe if he was denying some dribble penetration, things could have got different. There's like 10 different things you can point to that they could have won the game. That's what happens. You lose in a 3-point game in overtime. There's like 10 different things you could have done better. The one thing I want to ask you about is Jordan Poole. I feel like, so Jordan Poole in preseason looked like the next coming of Steph Curry. Now we all knew that was, you know, not going to last, but, he's had kind of a rough go of it in the regular season, aside from against the Lakers, who are kind of playing like a playing team. So maybe we should not overrate that performance.
Right.
What are you seeing from him right now? Like, why is he struggling so much? What are your thoughts?
He's playing way too quick. I think of CJ McCollum because we threw out this comp. CJ McCollum is an incredible decision maker in between the paint and the 3-point line. Jordan Poole right now has no idea what he's doing once he gets in between the three. Like, when it hits the hole, he's good at finishing. Like, he's explosive. Shoots a three. He's not making it right now. But
he's got a great touch around the rim, yeah.
Yeah. But, like, you know, he's not making his threes right now. He will, I think. And you know, he's getting decent open looks. So I think that'll come around. But it's the let's take a dribble. And if there's someone in front of him in the paint, I don't know what he's doing. I don't think he knows what he's doing. If he gets into the hole and somebody's at the rim – he's not looking. He didn't make one good pass today, but most of the time he doesn't know what is going on, right? He doesn't know whether to make the pass or not. But the thing is, like, that's what happens when you're young. To me, that's normal. And I think Steve did play him through that today. He doesn't yank him when he makes those dumb turnovers. So I think it's the decision making, man. Like, a lot of it is the game's way too fast for him right now. especially against good basketball teams. Actually, any basketball team, Sam. Any basketball team right now that knows the scouting report on Jordan Poole.
Yeah, I can't decide if it's just the game's too fast for him or it's more a function of, like, he just needs to see a couple go down for it to slow down for him. Either way, you know, he's kind of struggling, and it would do a lot for the Warriors to get him.
Are you worried?
No, not really. It's just kind of the nature of a young player. It's like, it would be great if he was Mr. Consistent, but if he was Mr. Consistent, he'd probably be on a max contract. So it's kind of like, I guess I'm just doing a stock check, things to monitor going forward. Like, you are correct. Everything's moving too fast for him right now.
They need him to be better too. I mean, just they need him to be better, which is not something that the Warriors want to rely on. But in games like these, you can see, like you said, 15 reasons why they lost. But one real easy reason is, man, if Jordan Poole plays better, especially on the bench, with bench units, they win this game. I mean, they were horrific tonight when Steph was off the floor. And that's where kind of Memphis made their mark, right? The other thing too is the end of the game, I wasn't too mad just because, look, man, you texted me that Steph hadn't scored in four straight fourth quarter games. He didn't score in OT today either. Shots he had were open. He's going to make them more often than not. He didn't tonight.
That's the last thing I wanted to talk to you about. Statistically, this is just a factual statement. Did I say third or fourth straight game? Third straight game in which he has not scored in the fourth quarter. And are you concerned today in any way about this? Is there something you're seeing that's making you think that this is like a trend? Do you think this is a function of them not having enough offense and teams predominantly who are, like, you know, not worthless are starting to realize that, like, man, let's just throw eight bodies at him. Let's take our chances.
Yeah, this is where Klay Thompson needs to come back as soon as possible. I mean, this happened even with Klay on the floor, but Draymond and Iguodala, I don't think this is Steph specific. You're not going to make me act like Tommy on here, but shouts to my guy. But this is Draymond Iguodala.
Different for him, bro.
Yeah. He looks great. He looks fantastic physically, all of that. But Draymond Iguodala, it's really what it is to me. Steph can finish at the hole, but you know why he can't finish at the hole? There's everyone there. Everyone's on him, right? Like, he doesn't have these open spaces to get anywhere. It's basically he has to dance at the 3-point line and chuck up a shot and then have it go in. So I think even when Klay comes back, that's a problem. And the other thing is, with Draymond and Iguodala, you kind of have to finish with those guys, right? And then Andrew Wiggins, like, you know, you're guarding him out at the three. You don't want him to get an open look, but you're also not saying, oh my God, I need to hug him and not give him a touch at all, right? Like, if I'm playing Wiggins, and most of these guys are, one pass away, maybe more, because end of the day, it's don't let Steph shoot. And I think that's kind of the problem. They got two guys that don't score. They got Damian Lee, who's a shooter, and then they got Andrew Wiggins, who's, you know, a decent shooter as well, that's not necessarily too scary.
Yeah, I would have liked to see someone like Otto Porter get thrown out to some of those closing lineups. Like, now it's – I don't know why I'm the resident Otto Porter stan, but, like, I would have liked to see it. But you're right, like, absent of a legitimate scoring threat like Klay Thompson, like someone who, like, scares the hell out of a defense, teams are just going to throw three bodies at Steph and be like, dude, if Damian Lee hits the shot, we'll live with it, you know, because, like, we're not going to get beat by Steph Curry. You know, if Jordan Poole – hit some big shots, then so be it. And then, like, God knows, if Draymond or Iguodala hit big shots, you know, they're like, that's cool, no big deal. So, I mean, it's the nature of the Warriors, and I don't even want to say just under Steve Kerr, although we know Kerr prefers defense and kind of all-around players over playing offense. But, like, the roster is built in a way that, like, it's not like you can – it's hard for them to close with lineups with, like, multiple big-time offensive threats. And so it's always going to be a situation where it's like Steph,
yeah,
some guys who are kind of like jack of all trade defenders who are smart. And, you know, you're hoping Jordan Poole or Damian Lee can kind of give you a little shot in the arm type of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. I think it's going to be what it is. I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, we watched this game and I forgot to bring this up earlier. At the end of the day, Steph, Draymond were turning the ball over insane amounts. Just you can't blame Wiggins. You can't blame any of these other guys, because your two best players on the floor tonight were just atrocious taking care of the ball. Draymond was throwing shit. He got a rebound and then just threw it to the other side of the floor where nobody was open. And then he had an 8-second violation. I mean, that's the stuff where you're like, I mean, what are we doing here? Right? Right. Oh, like, what are we doing?
I was going to skip over the 8-second violation. But yeah, I mean, the point stands. So like to me, like my main takeaway, and I want to monitor it over other games. Like I'm skeptical they have enough offense against good playoff teams. Mm. And it's really not something that's going to show itself until you play games against a team like Memphis when like everyone's engaged down the end of the game where you notice like, man, I love Iggy and Draymond and these guys, but it's like, it's hard to play them all together if other guys aren't big time threats. So that's kind of part of the reason we're like, man, you should maybe consider trading a kid for a veteran so that they're in a better position for the playoffs. But hey, man, we've done enough of that podcast.
Yeah, I think overall, before we get to the goons here, overall, I wasn't too – it was a bad effort. I mean, it was a bad game, not a good loss, but I don't think it's as bad as some of the ones we saw last season, Sam. I think this is correctable. Just read the turnovers.
Yeah.
Some of the issues, I think, with ending and all that stuff, I think that's, you know, those are going to be there. I think overall we've talked enough. But overall, I don't think it was that bad of a loss. Just it's frustrating, though, when you see this many turnovers.
I do agree with you. And my bigger picture thing is, like, I'm curious to see how they bounce back from it. Because, like, the thing that made last year frustrating was they would lose and they would not learn from it.
Yeah.
This team's got a little higher IQ. There's potential to learn from their losses here.
Well, I think that's the point. Like, if they had won this game with 23 turnovers, not that they keep doing it, but you know, you almost kind of start to slip into bad habits, right? Like, but you know, maybe the loss kind of, it's a veteran team, so grain of salt, right? But maybe with a loss, you go back and say, Jesus, guys, like, let's clean this up. Even the next game, it's against OKC, right? They should win by 20, but they got to clean this stuff up.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, guys, if you want to sound off, request to speak, we're going to go to the speaker list. Ricky Garcia.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, man? How you doing?
I'm tired. It was 84 here in LA, kind of warm. Anyway, I kind of want to sound off on the Canadian Mohawkless. It was pregame. Steve said that. Pre-game, Steve said that Wiggins would be the primary defender on John Morant tonight.
17 in the flow, respect.
Yeah. And John Morant went off in the second half, of course. you guys mentioned, you know, before that he kind of just was out there tonight. To me, he kind of looks kind of unserious for the most part early on this season. And, you know, I think, you know, you kind of need that second star to contend for a championship, especially given how wide open the West kind of looks right now. And, you know, I'm not convinced that, you know, maybe Draymond, you know, is going to be that second star, particularly offensively. Defensively, yes, but offensively, no. And, you know, I'm not expecting Klay to be that second star right away. So what say you about Andrew Wiggins?
Oh man, we ready to go for 2 hours, Ricky G. Ricky Garcia, I appreciate you calling in, but Andy, go for it.
Yeah, I don't know if this was an Andrew Wiggins type of game. I don't know if this is a game that should make us talk about Andrew Wiggins. He was Andrew Wiggins. I mean, he was not special, but he was not terrible. If you expected more from him, that's your fault. It's not his fault because he has shown us time and time again he's not special, and that's fine because I don't think the Warriors expect him to be special. Fitz is out here, who's essentially Joe Lacob's mouthpiece, telling us that he's extremely solid day in, day out, and he is. So I think that the Warriors are going to rely on Klay Thompson by the end of the season to be their second-best offensive player. It's not going to be Wiggins. Stop praying and hoping. It's not going to happen. He is going to be who he is for the rest of his career. That's it.
Yeah, I'm pretty much with you, Andy. Like, you know, for every game, like the OKC game where he kind of takes over in the fourth quarter and you like, you squint your eyes and you're like, maybe there's a little more there. Maybe there's a little more there. Then you go to the next game where he's just floating through it. It's not like he played bad defense. It's not like he didn't hit his shots. It's not like he didn't do his job, but like at no point was there ownership of the moment. That's like always my thing with him. You can say what you want about Draymond Green. And when he gets into those modes where he doesn't shoot the ball, I'm as frustrated as everyone else. But Draymond plays with a level of intensity that you have to want to win the game to do that. Draymond, was that the possession at the end of the fourth quarter where he blocked multiple shots? Or I was like,
I was just about to say that. Oh, man.
That was just like, and I know he doesn't do it as often as he used to because he's 31, he's not 25. But like Draymond knows when it's winning time and he does his job. Wiggins, I mean, he needs someone to light a fire under him still.
Don't you ever put, not you, but like, I don't want to hear anyone ever put Andrew Wiggins in the same breath as Steph and Draymond. I mean, Steph and Draymond are champions and winners and the hardest working people in the NBA, and they're competitors. They've got fire that you don't see out of anyone. And now I sound like bottle stop. But it's like those guys are fucking winners, man. Don't you ever put Andrew Wiggins in the same stratosphere. Don't expect him to be that. He's solid. He is who he is. Let's move on.
Yeah, I mean, all I'm saying is if he took ownership of the moment and play a little harder in those, you know, they probably win this game. But whatever. Yeah. I'm not putting this game on him. I don't know why. You know, someone's going to scream at me online about this tomorrow. Whatever. All right, let's keep moving. Nova.
Hey guys. Yeah, I just wanted to, you know, things I've noticed from this game. I think Steph, you know, we were talking about him scoring in the fourth. And I think it's a function of Steve Kerr, like, rotations, right? Like, he brings him in, like, what, 4 minutes in the game? And he's out of rhythm by that point, you know? And, yeah, it's something I've noticed all throughout the season. He finally beat their ass today. And also just, like, you know, the offense, right? Like, I don't think, you know, if a team scouts our offense, I think it's very stoppable, as you saw. Like, you know, it's good to catch teams that, you know, just playing regular defense. But, like, in the fourth quarter, right, when teams scout us and they're locked in, like, we see this problem all the time. So I think maybe we need to start playing more high pick and rolls. Maybe some Kenny can bring some of his offense and, like, help Steve out. But, yeah, what do you guys think?
Is Kenny there today? I don't know if I missed something. Maybe the comments can help us out. I don't know if I saw him.
No, but that's a great call. So Andy, do you think the offense at the end of games is a function of teams scouting it, or is it more a function of the personnel?
Yeah, that's such a great question. I feel like you can answer it better than I do, but I think a lot of it's personnel. I think it's
But no matter what system you throw out there, you've got Draymond and Andre Iguodala. Those are just two guys that are just not, they're complete zeros at the end of the game. God bless them. Love them. Great defensive players and still very good.
But they're actually both really good for a bullshit three at the end of the game. I appreciate that. But like
actually they are.
But your point stands. Like they're not like half court out of the timeout possession guys.
Yeah. And that's where Clay comes in. And Damian Lee did a good Clay compression. I think a lot of it's just Steph missed shots today, man. And those were, I guess they were tough shots, but those are shots that we've seen Steph hit for a decade. So unless you tell me that Steph is declining and there's no reason to believe that the first five games of the season, you know, he'll hit those the next time that they play or the next close game.
And so I do agree with Nova. Like, it would be good to get Steph in a little more pick and roll and kind of ball screen action at the end of games. But I also wonder how much it makes a difference if he's out there with three guys, the defense is like, look, man, if Iggy hits a game winner, Memphis coach can be like, yeah. You know, it's cool. You know, Draymond hits a game winner, they're going to be like, whatever, right? Like, we know how they're going to guard those actions. So, like, until the Warriors roster has a wholesale change, it's rough in those specific moments. Like, I think the more interesting thing is, you know, like, if they should have brought an Otto or Bielitsa or something like that, you know, just kind of open up the offense a little bit before then.
But if you bring in Otto, and by the way, one thing, Steph,
I'm really way too much for Otto this early in the season.
No, I actually want to talk about that for a second. People are going to hate this yet again, so I want to talk about something else for a second, distract the attention. But Steph called off Draymond at the end of the regulation there to go ISO, and he ended up making the shot. But that's really what should be happening more often, right? MT talked about this last year. It's like Steph's got to just go ISO sometimes. He's not a guy that ever calls people off, but you know that's something he has to do because if Draymond sets a screen. They're doubling. And, you know, Draymond getting the ball in a 4-on-3, it's cool, but, you know, doesn't actually work most of the time. So the other thing is, you know, if you put Otto in, who are you taking out? Probably Wiggins. I'm just saying, like, you're not taking out
Iguodala. It's Wiggins or Iguodala, so.
Right. I'm not taking out Iguodala. Not if he's healthy. Like,
All right, Max Kellerman.
You know, I just, if you can put Draymond and Iguodala defensively and they can pass and you got Otto and Iggy in one corner.
It's tough to take Andre out because he doesn't make mental mistakes and he still hits big shots. So I hear what you're saying. It's like, it's a tough call.
It's almost easier when one of them is like sitting like with a game off for a rest day to make that decision.
Shit. I'd make it, but I'm not the coach. I'm Steve 0.0. So.
All right, we got one more caller, and then we have a friend of the show coming on afterwards. Thomas, what's up, man?
Oh, sure, what's up? So, yeah, regarding the Wiggins thing, I don't know what his contract is up or anything, but, like, assuming it's done this season, like, do you guys want him back? Like, I don't know how much less he's willing to take, but do you think it would be better off to have him or, like, use that money on, like, smaller role players?
Thomas, great call. So Wiggins has one more year after this, so he's not a free agent this summer. I don't know. I don't really want to get into it, to be honest with you, Andy. So I feel like Wiggins at half the price I'm content with, for sure. Like, that's comfortable. But we're not there yet. We'll deal with that next summer, right?
Yeah. Also, it's not like you're getting $30 million.
Oh, that's the other part. Like, it doesn't clear cap space.
Yeah, so, you know, I don't think that's how it works. I think that what they could do is trade. But anyway, let's get to a friend of the show because too much Wiggins talk for a night that I think the loss was mostly on the amount of turnovers that they had and you know, some struggles down the stretch. Oh, no. Oh, God. Let's go. Let's go.
Maples, what's up, man? You there? Turn your mute off.
What's going on with y'all?
Hey, by the way, I know you came here to gloat, but by the way, where were you at the Warriors World Tournament? I was expecting you to chuck up like 30 shots a game. Where were you?
No, we had a tournament, so you feel me. I had some family business, so I couldn't make it. But that was the first year I missed. Man, I'm upset. I was trying to get out there and get some buckets.
Yeah, you could have guarded. You could have guarded a Leandro.
Hey, I gotta say, man, I showed my team your technique defending Zaza, man. It's the expert.
Hey,
Andy Looney, baby. I got you. I can put him through a little camp whenever you need me. Let me know. Yeah, nah, thanks for coming, man, Maples.
Yeah, not bad. I just put after watching Russell Westbrook play point guard, I had to watch some real basketball finally. So,
what's up, man?
Y'all who don't know, I am a Laker fan. I just live up here, so I catch all the Warrior games. I just want to know, why doesn't Poole kind of like have to close with the way the Warriors are, even on his bad nights? Because he's the only guy who can create off the dribble. Right? So that's my question to you guys, who obviously are more tuned in to Warriors basketball than I am. I'm just curious about what you think about that until you get Klay back and like at least close to 100% he's going to be.
No, that's a great question. So, Andy, five games, Poole has closed what, once? I think he closed the Kings game.
He's just been bad, Maples. I think that's just, even if they wanted him out there, I think it's been kind of fair to not. They've closed with Damian Lee because he's
Damian Lee's mistakes. Yeah, Damian Lee, it's not just doesn't make mistakes. Damian Lee has been better than him this whole way. I think actually Steve's done a pretty good job of giving Jordan Poole like a decent amount of rope to play through mistakes. And then just when it gets to winning time, put whoever's riding the hot hand at that point. And like, quite frankly, it's been Damian Lee most of the way this year. So I just don't know what else he can do. Like, he hasn't been that quick leash with him.
Well, the thing, Maples, we were saying earlier in the beginning was that you watch Jordan Poole and, you know, he gets to the hole, he's quick, he can finish, but anything else in between in terms of decision-making right now, when he gets the ball below a three-point line, he is lost. Like, he doesn't know whether to shoot, pass, dribble. Like, we think the game is way too fast for him. I mean, look, he's not Russ level in the fact that he doesn't know what he's doing, but it's not pretty. It's not, and, you know, he's 22. He's young.
Yeah, I was just curious about that because, you know, I got to watch this game start to finish. You just see Steph get hounded down the stretch again. And he was just gassed tonight, too, towards the end, like, quite honestly. Like, he didn't score the last 17 minutes of the game, like, the whole fourth and OT. So I was just wondering, like, just do you ride through a couple more pool mistakes possibly just to make life kind of easier on Steph?
I wonder if they should make a more concerted effort to get Poole going. Like, just, like, run some side pick and roll for him. Just, like, live with the fact that he's going to have a dumb turnover and take kind of an out-of-control shot here and there because you realize you need that second shot creator. Because, like, the reality is, like, Memphis is a good team. I don't think Memphis is a great team. But good teams are just going to continue overloading on Steph. And, like, playing for the playoffs, you have to figure out something to get around that because, like, that's not going away.
Yeah, I heard you mention it might be time to, you know, got all those kids and Wiseman, man, to get another creator. If you know, I know that's a hot topic in this fan base. I'm sorry. Wiseman trade, I said it. I'm sorry. But
it's our favorite. It's our favorite. We bring it up every couple of weeks whenever we need to get the people going.
You don't think, like, that could be, like, a key, like that's the missing piece right now, right? Just somebody who can dribble, right?
Well, you talked about, Sam, we talked about trade deadline stuff.
But, like, how many players do the Warriors have who can dribble over the last, like, 8 years? Like, it's like four. It's like Steph, KD.
I mean, we're not even counting Klay, by the way. Yeah,
Steph, KD, like, Barbosa that 1 year. And then, like it's not, yeah. But, I mean, to Maple's point, yeah, I mean, if you can add another shot creator to this team who is not a liability on defense, I take them against anyone, right? Like, isn't that what it comes down to, Andy? Like, I might take their chances without one, but, like, with one, who's a problem for them?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of it's defense, too, on the other side of the court is I want to get your thoughts on John Morant, too, Maples, because he might be my second best favorite player to watch in the NBA, and just he looks like he's going to be top two, three point guard in the NBA for a long time. What'd you think about him tonight? And overall, honestly.
Right. Well, before the draft, I dropped a very hot take before that draft. I was like, I would kind of, just to where the game is, I would have taken him over Zion. And of course, you know,
over Zion.
This is before the draft. I said that. And, you know, Zion's been great. He's just not on the floor. That's a different story. Like availability that those two is just a whole different story. But, yeah, man, he's definitely up next. Like I said, on Sunday against LeBron and AD, he was the best player on the floor. And it was, like, clear. And you know, I think the scariest part about it is he thinks he's the best player every night, no matter who he's going up against. I think that's like the final step for a true superstar in the NBA. Like I go out there, like I don't care who's out here, I'm the best player, and you can clearly see that in how he plays. I'm with you. He's definitely in my top five players to watch.
I just the guy is so in control at all times. I think people are comparing him to D Rose a little bit, Russ a little bit, and I'm just watching. I'm just like, I don't know, man. Like he's got some Chris Paul type of. I'm just gonna control this game, making the right decision every possession down the court, every time. I'm gonna make the right decision.
I don't think it's
crazy.
I don't think he's a traffic cop that Chris Paul is.
Nobody lets.
If you watch, he lets other guys do stuff like Bane. Anderson, they get a fair amount of chances to like create. Like he's not like every possession, wait till I run this pick and roll and wait till I kick to you to shoot. Like he's very good about knowing when to put his foot on and off the gas pedal. And at age 22, that is pretty special having that already at age 22.
I just love how fearless he is, man. It's to be honest, it's the combination of thinking you're the best player on the floor and being mentally engaged, like down to the details. Like he can't guard Steph, but like very few players can. But like his engagement level mentally, defensively, not losing Steph and just kind of hanging around the whole way through. Like you don't see guards of that age like lock in at that level the way he does the whole way through. I don't know. I think he's special.
Yeah. Just as long as he doesn't get hurt. And I don't think he plays as crazy as he does anymore. The first couple of years, he was flying, trying to dunk everything. Maybe he fell one time today.
He's smooth. Yeah. That's the thing. Like he's an explosive athlete, but he doesn't play as explosive.
Yeah, that agent stepped in after that first rookie year. It was like, check this out, Seth. There's no extension been signed yet. You need to relax out there.
Right? I remember watching him. I was like, oh, this guy's going to D-Rose himself. Like, he's going to hurt himself. He's not. But now I'm watching him. I'm like, does he even, you know, like, and it's fine. You don't need to play like that to be effective. And my God, tonight, just, I don't know, man. I love him. I love him. He's going to be so good for so long.
Yeah, man. I just, like I said, man, I'm watching a lot more other NBA basketball. Like, I know you guys have probably been there as Warrior fans, but you don't know. You probably do know, but just that feeling of hating watching the team you root for is disgusting. Like, it's not fun watching them play right now at all.
Like, hey, let's talk like this. Let's talk like this, because Warriors fans are going to want to hear this. If you want to throw a little vent session on me, but we're happy to hear it.
No, I'm just saying, like, I think I've been pretty consistent on the timeline about what I think about Russell Westbrook. I was like, cool, it's fun to watch. Never want him on my team. Like, it's the same thing. It's like, cool, it's fun, whatever, why not? Get the stats. How about him playing about stat pattern, bro? After all the what we see in life, like, what do we do? Like, it's just him. I was like, when I saw, I was like, that guy complaining about stat pattern? Golly, we in the Matrix? Goodness gracious.
When is the LeBron media leak about Russ being a problem coming? Like right now it's just side eye stuff. It's not, you know, LeBron's not taking it serious this early. But at some point when Russ looks him off, we're going to get the look. And that's when it's going to get fun.
I think LeBron is concerned about getting healthy right now more than anything. He just can't stay on the court.
Political.
Yeah, it's been freak accidents. He can't stay on the court, but some of that comes with age. But I just like, it's a huge miscalculation, man. Like Buddy Hield was right there. The trade was done according to some reports, and then LeBron and, you know, Rob just, now we want to get Westbrook. Now it's just like the fit from jump is just like, what are you doing? It's like, it's always it's LeBron, another star, and shooting. Like, that's been the formula. I don't know why you tinker with that in year 19. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
That's why you don't let players do the GM work.
You sound like Joe Lacob right now, Andy. That's why I'm not trading Wiseman and Kuminga for.
Is LeBron's ankle really? LeBron seems like a guy that's always going to be. He's going to be there when it counts. Is that ankle really something that's still bothering him from last season? It's kind of crazy to think about.
Like, I think he got hit in it again. The guy, like, the same exact injury, just not as extreme. The guy, like, over to his ankle.
Man.
It's like, yeah. So, I don't know. This is as you get older. I think it's just a longer recovery time when you get older. You know what I'm saying? Like, you just don't bounce back like you used to. Like, even though LeBron spent an insane amount of money on his body, you just don't bounce back the same way. And also, he's never been LeBron is always a long game. Like, Kobe is like, you know, I'm playing regardless. You got to strap me down and keep me out this game. LeBron is like October against the Orlando Magic. No, you know, it's just LeBron's always playing a long game.
All right, Maples. Appreciate you chiming in.
It's all good, man.
Coming at any time.
Love the show. Thanks for having me on. Y'all be smooth, man.
Yes, sir. Temple of Hoop. Got to check out Maples Pod, too.
Absolutely. Jake, what's going on,
shit.
Man?
Shit, Jake Paul is on. Oh, wow.
Not that Jake Paul. Or is it that Jake Paul?
Or is it?
Different Jake Paul.
Ah, there we go.
What's up, man?
I have some thoughts on the Lakers.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a Laker fan, but I feel like there's going to have to be some hard decisions as far as playing some of these old ass guys that are just awful on defense. I'm talking about Melo, Rondo, DeAndre Jordan. Monk is pretty small. We got some bad defenders. And yeah. A lot of our good players are injured, but I don't want to see any of these players play in the playoffs. Those are my thoughts. I don't know. I'm going to take it from there.
Appreciate it, Jake. I don't know how this turned into Laker talk, but I'm just dying. But hey, anything to deflect from the Warrior Memphis game, right?
Anytime, like, that's how I live my life. You know, if something's going wrong, you laugh at someone else that's having it worse. And I'm looking at the Lakers go up 26 against the Thunder yesterday and lose the game. And holy shit, man, it makes me feel a little better about the Warriors. The Lakers, I keep thinking, Sam, that, like, they're going to figure it out and they're going to figure it out. They're going to figure it out. But I don't know. Roster construction kind of fucking matters, as we saw with the Warriors last.
It matters. All right. Omar, what's up, man?
Hey, tough to follow up Maples. So I don't want to, you know, shit on anybody too much. Like, you know, 4-1, that's good overall. And I hate to bring it up, but I kind of want to talk about Looney right now. You know, I've never seen a more mediocre team with more untouchable pieces. And two-way wigs, can't let him go. Like, rookies, can't let him go. And Looney's one of the last people I'd want to let go, but this guy looks completely cooked right now. It's not looking great. Granted, he got better over the course of last season, but the context here is we have so many holes in the roster. He looks really far off the guy he was 3 years ago. He's earning $5 million that's expiring. Our owner is definitely not going to be paying that amount ever again on, like, a, you know, mid-level exception or whatever. At what point, like, what are you looking for, you know, to say we got to move on? Because for me personally, I'm like, Bob Myers got to do his job.
Yeah, I think to Omar's overall point, it's not about Looney as much as, like, they just need to add a little more talent. Like, it can't just be Steph, Clay, and a bunch of goons. Like, you need a certain amount of goons, but you also need a certain amount of basketball players. So that's kind of the thing. I don't have an issue with Looney. It's more like overall, like, do I need to see Looney and Draymond play together?
Probably. Or even a big that can, you know, actually roll to the rim with force. Like, you know, you have them earning minimum level contracts. Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. You articulated Sam.
Omar, as Fitz says, you know, every broadcast within 5 minutes of the game, this is why James Wiseman is on this roster. And when he comes back, 7'7" wingspan, he's going to be the one you know? So,
appreciate it, Omar.
Yeah, thanks, man.
All right, last call.
I mean, I'm serious. He talks about that every podcast. Bernardo. Hey,
Bernardo, what's up, man?
Hey, Sam, Andy. How are you guys?
Good. How you doing, man?
Good. I just wanted to, like, I'm going to throw some Lakers here. I'm 100% sure that Westbrook is going to get traded for Ben Simmons. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And, well, okay. Leaving that apart. Look, I was really excited about this loss in so many ways. We lost this game by turnovers. I was watching, like, I believe we were either, I think it was Iguodala missing that dunk in the fourth quarter. And I was kind of like envisioning, like, guys, like, Wiseman could have done this, you know, we could have won this game. And yeah, just, I mean, I'm really excited because, like, this is good that it's happening right now, but I mean, we're going to get so much better after this.
I think that's a very good point. I think it's five games. You don't want the Warriors to look, well, I mean, you would rather them look amazing, but you don't want them to peak in the beginning. I think there's still a lot to work on. I think the main point is I don't like it when people say, just wait till Klay, Wiseman, and Kuminga are back, because those two guys should not be mentioned in the same breath as Klay. But I also think Kuminga right now is going to be a lot different. Wiseman right now is going to be a lot different than come April. Same with Klay. I obviously think it matters more for Klay. Yeah,
no. No, I agree. And that's a great call, Bernardo. Like, in the scheme of things, I think the Warriors have had a very positive first five games. Kind of sucks to lose to Memphis, but, like, compared to last year, I would take the start. And I think there's things to work on, but there's also things to build on. And that's really what matters here. Like, let's see where they go from here.
Yeah. You know, you're not going 24-0. We're not going 24-0, but still a lot of stuff to work on. I think Jordan Poole, let's get Jordan Poole up and running. I think Saturday will be a good one for him.
Yeah. All right, we're out of here. Appreciate you guys.